Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is the text. You may be seated. And so what is meant by God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? And there is a background to that verse. And the background is what Jesus was talking about, and it is the Israelites out in the wilderness, going through the wilderness, and as they go through, they complain. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, that we weren't out here. And God gives them food, manna from heaven, the bread of heaven. What do they do with the bread of heaven? You want wine with that? That's what they say now. Oh, this manna. This manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, and now it's manna for supper. Oh, that we're back in Egypt. Oh, that we weren't out here. Oh, that we were back in Egypt and the Egyptians were using their whips on our backs. Oh, that we were in slavery. Oh, this is an amazing bunch. Oh, but it's only manna, and if we were in Egypt, we would be beaten and forced to work, but at least there were cucumbers. And it goes on. This is Numbers 21 is the background for this text, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know, this was not the first time they complained. It was not the second time they complained. It was not the third time they complained. It was not. We could go on for a while, couldn't we? And eventually, where there was going to be trouble. Numbers 21, that's the place where there was trouble. And they complained and they talked about this miserable manna. Finally, God sent venomous snakes among them that bit many, and many died. It's poetic justice. Very poetic justice, because what they were doing was they were forgetting God, and just like their first parents, chasing off after the words of the old serpent. So, they want the words of the old serpent, then they can have the venom of the old serpent. Fact is, they're not the only ones that complain. There are times. Yeah. You hear it. Being a Christian, it's like God takes all the fun out of life. Okay, I'll be a Christian, but I'm not going to enjoy it. Yeah. You hear those things. Oh, so miserable, you people, getting up on a Sunday morning. Fact is, we are snake bit. The whole bunch of us, the whole human race, we are snake bit. We have listened to the words of the old serpent. We've got the venom running through us. It's in our veins. We end up, no matter how hard we try and do the right thing, no matter how much we know it's the right thing, off we go. snake bit. There is death, and the death is in us. What are we going to do about it? Actually, that's the wrong question. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Nothing. What can we do about it? Nothing. This is where Nicodemus comes in. He wants to be the leader of Israel, faithful, covenant child of God, doing the right things. How are you going to do that, Nicodemus? You must be born again. How do I get born again? I didn't contribute to my birth the first time. How do I do this a second time? Wrong question. You can't. How do I turn to God? You can't. How do I come to faith? You can't. And again and again and again. Because we've been snake bit and the venom is running through us and we cannot seem to turn it around. If we could turn it around, somewhere, someplace in the world, there would be a bunch of people that really got it and they would be the example to the rest of us of how it's done, and you can't find them. Whole human race, snake bit. Well, if I can't turn it around, now we're on the right track. If I can't turn it around, who's to do it? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And at that point, Jesus comes out with the single most offensive picture and image that has ever been used in preaching. The single most offensive one. Really? Let me tell you how offensive that is. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, well, the people of Israel finally get the idea that they went too far. Oh, we sinned against God. We sinned against God. Moses, what was your first clue? We sinned against God. We sinned against God. Pray for us. And Moses, again, goes to pray for the people. Again. This time God says, here's what you do. You hammer out a bronze snake and you put it up on a pole in the middle of the camp. And everyone, when they are snake bit, if they simply look to that snake on the pole, they will live. So look to that which is the whole heart of the problem. Yeah. Why is that offensive? Well, because Jesus takes that picture and he says, you know what that's about? That's about me. Jesus is like a snake on a pole. Yeah. Let me get this straight. Jesus is like the old serpent or a serpent or a symbol of evil or a symbol of sin stuck up on a pole. Yep. Yep. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's he talking about there? He's talking about his cross. Oh, so So I'm supposed to look at Jesus on the cross, and in one sense, I'm supposed to say, that's evil. Yeah. Pastor, how do you dare say that? Only because Jesus said it. And getting beyond the, that's offensive. Well, yes, it is. And I'll tell you in a minute why it's so offensive. That's offensive. But this is where I am to see all of my sin. Watch your sin on Jesus laid. See your sin being taken away. See your sin being nailed to the cross. Time and time again, the New Testament goes there. So Jesus is my sin? Yeah. That's what he came to be. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He's my sin. He's your sin. And if he took all of it away, well, where is it? It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. David in Psalm 103. He has taken our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. Jeremiah. You want to revisit your sin? Just go visit it for a moment. There's only one place you can revisit it. That's at the cross. To see where your sin went, what happened to it, and why it's not coming back. Because God says, it's gone, it's forgotten, it's done with. Along with the sin of your neighbor, by the way, along with the sin of your neighbor, there on the cross, and you can go tell your neighbor that his sin is gone as well. And so Jesus steps in the middle of all of it, where this whole human race is trying to win salvation and trying to find the way to do the righteous life and gain eternal life. And he says, no, you can't do that. You cannot win from me what I freely give to you. You cannot earn what I have already done. And that's just plain silly. And then there's a part two to all of this. See? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's what happens to our sin. But what do? John 3:15. That whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So the people of Israel, what do I do to survive the snake bite? Look to the snake on the pole, that somebody will come along 1,000 and more years later and say, that's all about me. Look there. Look and see your sin. Look and see your sin taken away by Jesus. And as you look and see your sin taken by him and gone by him, the looking and seeing the sin gone, that is called faith. Nothing more complicated than that. How do we get this faith? We're looping around now. Back to Nicodemus. Born of water and the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. He creates that faith in you. He plants it inside. He takes the Word of God, this message of the cross, he puts it in your heart. And then you find out that deep in my heart, I know this is true. Deep in my heart, I know that Jesus is the one who came and took away my sin. Deep in my heart, this is the truth of God, the truth that stands above all other truths. It is the one truth that God calls the entire world to come and see, this one truth. And there's salvation. It's all done by God. You didn't do it. You didn't even figure it out. God did that in you. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus talking to Peter. God did it. And this is the plan. It's the plan from the beginning. It is the plan that is the reason why, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is the plan planned out in all eternity. It is the plan of salvation that goes before the first creation of the first dust of the world, and it is in the heart of God that he would take our sin and he would set us free and make us his people. Part of the reason why it is offensive, it still offends people. Oh, it offends people terribly. The reason why is because we as a Christian church are saying to the whole world, number one, this is how bad your sin was, because this is how bad my sin was, that the Son of God himself had to come down and take that sin in himself and suffer the punishment, the judgment, the wrath, the damnation for that sin there on the cross. Second, you can't fix it. It's something that God has done for you. So any and all religion that tries to make right with God, that just doesn't work. It denies what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Any making light of sin, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. No, it's serious. And third, any weighing down of ourselves that we are unforgivable or separated from God. No, that doesn't go over either, because God has taken care of all of it. He did it himself. And fourth, this last one, this is the really tough one. Now go look at your neighbor in a different light. Because their sin was carried the same place as yours. And as a Christian church, we have a mission. And our mission is to tell the world about what has been done. On that hill outside of Jerusalem,
In Jesus' name, amen.